You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
The Armenian National Committee of Australia organized a visit of Australian parliamentarians to Armenia and Artsakh. Hai Kayserian, executive director of ANCA, was part of the delegation. Now he has returned from the historic trip with fresh impressions that he'll share with us. Hai, welcome to SBS Armenian.
Thank you for having me, Vahe.
Hai, from the press releases and photos, it appears you had a very busy schedule and meetings and visits.
Yes, that's correct, Vahe. It was a very full schedule. I think there was about 5 days of meetings, touristic sites that we visited, businesses that we visited, and ministerial meetings as well as parliamentary meetings. And all of that was absolutely necessary in order for us to accomplish what we were trying to accomplish out of this trip.
So the delegation traveled together and met officials or attended functions together, or it was split and had different meetings?
By and large, the meetings were together. We did have a few meetings where we split up, and that was based on the expertise or the area of activity of the parliamentarians that were traveling with us. And also there were a few meetings that were split because there were a couple of people who arrived a little bit earlier and a few that stayed a little bit later. So, for example, one of the first arrivals was Tim Wilson. And it just so happened that there was an opportunity to meet with the foreign minister of Armenia while Tim Wilson was in town. Therefore, he was present for the meeting that we had with Mr. Manatsaganyan, Zohrab Manatsaganyan, which was a very successful meeting. Mr. Manatsaganyan gave an excellent pitch of Armenia and all of the reasons that bilateral relations with Australia is important. He also reinforced the very important decision that his government had made to establish an embassy in Canberra during his term in office. We also had an opportunity while Tim Wilson and Hugh McDermott were in Armenia to be part of the official celebrations for Armenia's Independence Day. They were held in Gyumri, and during that celebration, we had sideline meetings organized for us with the president of Armenia, Mr. Armen Sarkisian, as well as the prime minister of Armenia, Mr. Nikol Pashinyan, and the president of the Republic of Artsakh, who was in Gyumri at the time, Mr. Bakur Sahagyan. The more sort of formal sit-down affairs that we had outside of that, we did together when they were of parliamentary nature. So we met with the MyStep Alliance, who are in government at the moment in Armenia, together. We also met representatives of the opposition Bright Armenia Party together. And we also met with the Speaker of the National Assembly, Mr. Arat Mirzoyan, together. Separately, Mr. Zimmerman, who is the Chair of the Australian Parliament's House Standing Committee on Health, he met with the Deputy Minister for Health in Armenia alone, accompanied by a couple of people from the Armenian National Committee. Similarly, Tim Wilson, who is the Chair of the Australian Parliament's House Standing Committee on Economics, he met with the Deputy Minister of Economy. John Alexander, who is the Chair of the House Standing Committee on Infrastructure, met with the Deputy Minister for Infrastructure. And Dr. Hugh McDermott, who is a Doctor of Law from King's School, has worked on anti-corruption, anti-fraud, anti-money laundering in countries like Australia, the UK and the Cayman Islands. He met with the Deputy Minister for Justice, as well as meeting with the Supreme Judicial Council. There was also a meeting between John Alexander and the Deputy Minister for Education, because John was fascinated by Armenia's ability to integrate chess into their schools. And he was interested in finding out how that all came about and how they've managed to do that, because he's interested in importing that idea into, first of all, his electorate of Bennelong, but then potentially pitching it to Greater New South Wales and Australia. There are also other meetings that were had during the process, such as with the Football Federation and others. But as I said, by and large, these were the sort of split between meetings in Armenia. There was an entirely different schedule in Artsakh, which I'm sure we'll get to with your questions.
So was there a firm commitment from the foreign minister on the subject of opening an embassy in Canberra?
Yes, there was. Well, first of all, there's been a firm decision since the previous Republic of Armenia administration. However, what was made clear by the foreign minister during our meeting was he had highlighted five embassies that he wishes to open as the foreign minister, strategic embassies, important embassies, not just because of the Armenian communities that are maybe in these particular countries, but also because of their strategic importance and geopolitical standing. And among those five embassies, he said, was Australia. You might have noticed through the news they recently announced Armenia that they're opening an embassy in Israel and one in Ethiopia. These are of strategic importance. And Australia is definitely among the remaining three that have yet to be formally announced because there is some way to go. The conversations with the foreign ministry are such that the embassy is not just going to be something that, you know, falls from the sky. It does need to be budgeted, and that budget does need to be met, of course, by the state budget of the Republic of Armenia, but also by assistance and cooperation, collaboration with our community. So there was a lot of conversation about that with the foreign minister, and we know the road that we need to take to make this a reality or help make this a reality. And their research that they've been undertaking is also at a stage where, you know, they've seen what it's going to cost, what it's going to take to make it happen. And the fact that the commitment's still there after seeing all those facts is definitely encouraging. I'll also mention that in our meeting with a very senior person in the government, the President of the National Assembly, the Speaker of the House, essentially, Mr. Arat Nuzoyan, he reiterated that decision as well and was quite excited in announcing that, you know, we're happy that this trip has enhanced the parliament-to-parliament, inter-parliamentary relations between Armenia and Australia, and this is a great step towards what will soon happen, which is the establishment of the embassy in Canberra.
Haig, what were the main areas the Australian parliamentarians were most interested in discovering in Armenia and Artsakh?
Well, first of all, from a political standpoint, I think most of the meetings, because Armenia is in this transitional process towards a democracy, most of the meetings was a more mature democracy in Australia, presenting before a maturing democracy in Armenia. Therefore, there was a lot to exchange in terms of experience and ideas from Australia, from the Australian representatives to their Armenian counterparts. So, for example, in the areas of health, the ministry was talking about, you know, anti-smoking legislation, reducing, you know, smoking and taxing smoking, etc. And all of these steps, as we know in Australia, are things that we've graduated from. Therefore, Mr. Zimmerman was able to discuss this at great length and give some ideas and tips regarding that. Similarly, in the area of infrastructure, there was that sort of an exchange between Mr. Alexander and his infrastructure counterpart that he had a meeting with. And similarly, in the area of judiciary and justice, because obviously Australia is not corruption-free, no country probably is, but there has been instances where corruption has been rampant in certain circles, particularly in law enforcement in states such as Queensland in the past and perhaps even in New South Wales. Hugh McDermott had direct experience in both of those cases, being someone who's grown up in Queensland and also someone that currently serves in New South Wales. He was able to give some very good advice about how to weed that influence out of public service. There were different types of meetings with different types of individuals, though. For example, I think it's important to note that Australia also took away some information from some of the meetings that I think would be of benefit. So John Alexander and the Chess in Schools initiative, for example, he recognises that chess can play a major role in somebody's brain development, particularly in the area of problem solving. And to have that sort of an activity in schools compulsorily is something that he saw tremendous value in. And he understood the roadmap that Armenia went through to make that a reality, the experience since they've made it a reality, and he intends to bring that back and have further discussions. One of the successes that I'd like to highlight in terms of a dialogue, the sort of dialogue that we wanted to take back from this sort of a trip, was the meeting between Tim Wilson, the chair of Australia's House Economics Committee, and his counterpart, the Deputy Minister of Economy in Armenia, Mr. Avak Avanesyan. During that meeting, the Armenian National Committee of Australia were able to express that one of the reasons that Armenians in Australia and the greater Australian community are not investing as much as they would like to in Armenia is because of the double tax implications that exist. Basically, if you make money in Armenia, you have to pay tax on it in Armenia, which is fair. But then if you bring that money into Australia, you have to pay tax on it again. Now, Australia has double tax agreements, treaties, if you'd like to call it, with many countries around the world, which prevents that from happening. And it allows for Australians to make, single tax investments in Armenia without worrying about being taxed on it again if that money enters Australia. Mr. Wilson understood this predicament, and he basically decided that it will be an undertaking for him to make some inquiries about trying to make this happen for Armenia. Now, these sorts of tangible benefits are obviously ones that we were hoping to get out of it. The chess is another one. And I think there were a lot of other dialogues that began in the other meetings that I mentioned before that will yield results for both Australia and Armenia. In Artsakh, of course, it was a different scenario. I think the main headline to come out of Artsakh and arguably the whole trip is that we now have a federal Australian parliamentarian who has visited the Republic of Artsakh, something we didn't have before this delegation. John Alexander made history by becoming the first federal Australian parliamentarian to visit Artsakh, and also he was accompanied by Dr. Hugh McDermott on that trip. They were... I heard all of the recommendations from the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, all the travel advice. Apparently, there's dangers there, and you shouldn't travel there, etc., etc. But they understood all of that to be ill-informed and false, and they managed to see that with their own eyes. Now, I hope that the fact that that has happened, the department will now hear from people who've actually seen it, and we'll take their advice rather than the blind advice that they've taken in order to come up with adjudications like damaging ones that they have at the moment on their travel advisory websites. It was a tremendously successful trip to the Republic of Artsakh. It was very moving, and the meetings that we had with the Speaker of the Parliament in Artsakh, the Foreign Minister, they had just formed a new friendship group in the Artsakh Parliament. We met with the MPs and the ministers and the civil servants that were part of that, which was great. And we also visited the ARS kindergarten and the Lady Cox Rehabilitation Centre in Stepanakert.
Hike after the visit, in what areas and directions ANCA will work to further strengthen the relations between Australia and Armenia?
Well, the areas that we wish to work on is all the areas that we began dialogues in. So first and foremost, I think there was very important exchanges between our delegation and the President of Armenia, Mr. Armen Sarkisyan, who declared his undertaking to visit Australia to meet with our community and the parliamentarians on their ground, on their home turf here in Australia. So we'll be following that up with interest. There was also the undertaking around the embassy with the foreign ministry, as I mentioned, which is very important. In the areas of health infrastructure and judiciary, I think those conversations will continue so that Australia in particular, the Australian parliamentarians, can be of benefit to their Armenian counterparts as Armenia transitions to a fully-fledged democracy and one that is unique in its region. I think the education chess initiative that John Alexander began is something that we will continue to follow up and try to see how we can make clear that the member for Bennelong, John Alexander, the largest Armenian populated electorate, has been inspired by Armenia when he implements whatever he plans to implement here in Australia. And the double tax treaty in the area of economy, I think this is a really important thing to follow up and try to ensure that further investments can be more easily made between Australia and Armenia in the future. Outside of these, some of the more important business visits that we had included our visit to TUMO. So TUMO Centre for Creative Technologies is an after-school technology tuition program for school-age children, I think 12 and up. They learn everything from engineering to design to robotics to music, and it's really a place that inspired our political leaders when they went there. TUMO has already been exported to countries or cities, I should say, like Paris, Beirut, Tokyo. There's one opening in Berlin in the not-too-distant future as well. We began discussions about how we could potentially bring TUMO and under an appropriate model to Australia. So this is a very important discussion that we need to continue. It's still very early days with most of these things, of course, but that's very important. We also met with the American University of Armenia, the AUA, and they are an American accredited university in Yerevan. And we were able to discuss with them their exchange programs that they have going with other universities around the world, and in the Western world in particular, not countries that are dissimilar to Australia. And we accepted an undertaking to try to see if we can pitch these sorts of exchange programs to universities here in Australia. That's something that we're definitely going to be looking at as well. Other than those elements, I think the relationships that began with certain merchants or companies such as the Ararat Cognac or Brandy Factory, certain wineries in Armenia which are doing tremendous work, and other agribusinesses that we're able to talk to, I think there is just that greater understanding now of what Armenia's offering is, and I think it's an offering that was beyond everybody's expectations. So we now have everybody who was on this delegation, 4 politicians, 5 leaders of business in Australia, who will be going back and thinking a lot more seriously about all sorts of relationships that they can begin with Armenia and in Armenia, and ourself, of course.
Hike, in view of the success, will you plan other similar trips?
Yes, I think it's incumbent on us to continue these sorts of initiatives. I think the way we feel is we can talk about a lot of these issues, but until our issues are experienced and seen in person, we can only take our conversation so far. I'll give you a few examples other than the ones I've given. When we took the delegation to Dzernagapet, the Armenian Genocide Memorial, these are people that have been standing on our side for a very long time in parliaments across the country and publicly defending that Australia should recognise the Armenian Genocide, that the Armenian Genocide was genocide. But the 2.5 hours or so we spent in the Armenian Genocide Memorial, the museum, the politicians planted a tree, was probably the most emotional that I've ever seen these people on this issue. One of the politicians actually expressed that his heart was crying. We also saw many tears being wiped from the eyes of many members of our delegation. When we were in Artsakh and we visited the Lady Cox Rehabilitation Centre, and we saw kids and adults that were injured during wars or are there because their family were injured during wars, I think it adds a human element to what we're talking about the rights to self-determination of the Republic of Artsakh. We had John Alexander, for example, talking about how a rehabilitation centre exists in his electorate and how he would love to be a bridge to establish relations between an Australian rehabilitation centre and that one in Artsakh that is funded by the Lady Cox Heart Foundation. These sorts of experiences are ones that you can only give to people if they're there. I mean, Dr. Hugh McDermott visited an army base and he spoke to the young soldiers that are defending the border with smiles on their faces. and he was able to see how important Artsakh is to Armenians. These sorts of trips are critical. We always knew they were important, but now that we've done it, let's not forget this is the first ever federal-led Australian delegation to visit Armenia. We've had a state-led one before in 2013, but this is the first federal-led delegation. We think that the results of this will be experienced by us, by Armenia, by Artsakh for many years to come. Therefore, it's important for us to continue doing this. Now, whether they will be at an annual regularity or biannual, that's something that we'll need to decide and have conversations with. But, you know, we're encouraged that everybody also had a great time. I mean, it wasn't all not fun and games. There were also fun and games. There were some phenomenal cuisines that were experienced. The shushbars were danced. There were khachkars that were carved. There was lavash that was cooked in tonir ovens and all sorts of other things that you would expect from an awesome trip to Armenia.
Hike, prior to the Australian delegation's visit to Armenia, there were two other events that we didn't cover. One of them was the Armenian Professional Network Australia's event in Sydney. Could you give details about the Armenian Professional Network?
Sure. The Armenian Professional Network is a network that aims to bring together young Armenian professionals, especially young Armenian professionals, but there's no age limit, of course, under the banner of the Armenian National Committee, but it's not something that the Armenian National Committee does much with, except for allows these Armenian professionals to get together and have very important discussions and share their experiences and hopefully just grow the greater Armenian network in Australia, which is an important part of our outreach program. The Armenian Professional Network launch was earlier this year in March, I believe. Since then, there have been some satellite events, but this is their second and final major event for 2019. The keynote speaker this time was Gladys Berejiklian. She shared her fantastic experience where she started off as someone active in student politics and going all the way up to work in banking, then an MP's office, then a member of parliament, then a minister, and finally where she is now, which is the height of premier of the largest state of Australia. And that was a very interactive conversation as well. George Denikin was the MC, and he facilitated a Q&A with all of us who were present there in Darling Harbour. There was also, during that event, a couple of major things announced by the Armenian Professional Network. They created three forums, which are industry-specific. So there was the APN Allied Health Forum, which is basically anybody that works in, you know, medicine and the health industry generally, for them to also have a side network, a forum where they can, you know, communicate with each other, share experiences, and grow the Armenian network that way. A similar forum for law, the legal profession, and a similar one for property and allied services. So these were all major announcements during that event. It was majorly successful. There were over 200 people there, and there was just a great energy and vibe, as you would expect when that many Armenians come together.
The other event in late August was the recognition of Western Australian Labor Conference of the Armenian Genocide. How important is the recognition of genocide by state political parties?
Oh, it is very important. And, you know, we're plugging away, aren't we? I mean, for many years we were talking about how are we going to get this thing done, how are we going to get Australia to recognise it. There's Gallipoli, there's pressure from Turkey, trade, sanctions, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, we're plugging away. We're making some major successes. And, you know, the WA Labor Conference, let's not forget that WA is not an Armenian stronghold. It is an important part of the country, though. And during the Labor Conference in West Australia, Caleb Gardner, a young member of the Labor Party in WA who is very interested in this issue, stood and introduced the motion for not only WA Labor to recognise the genocide as a state conference, but also to push the state government and in turn the federal government to do the same is a significant step. And it was unanimously supported by the delegates. We're talking about high-profile delegates. There were federal MPs there. There were state MPs there. There were executive members there. And all of them were with Caleb on this particular motion. Rebecca Doyle, by the way, it's worth noting, was who seconded that motion. We and the ANCAU West Australian Perth branch congratulated them and thanked them for that decision. And the greater message here is where we're heading with this. I mean, we've got New South Wales as a state, South Australia as a state that have recognised the Armenian genocide. The City of Ryde and the City of Willoughby local councils have recognised the genocide. The Australian Greens and Centre Alliance, and before they became inactive, the Australian Conservatives, prominent political parties that have recognised the genocide. WA Labor, which we've just seen, but also the youth branch of WA Labor, the New South Wales Young Liberals, South Australian Young Labor, and Victorian Labor have also all recognised the Armenian Genocide, as has the Labor Women's Network. We also have recognitions that we announced earlier this year from the Australian Christian Lobby, a major lobby with 132,000 members, and also the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, who called on Australian Parliament government to recognise the Armenian Genocide. So, you know, we've had motions now debated in the Federal Parliament. In June last year, we had Trent Zimmerman's motion debated without dissent in the House of Representatives. We had another one in December by Tim Wilson. I think where we are at right now with this issue is there's only one party kicking goals, and that's the one with the currency of truth, the currency of justice, and not the one that is trying to bully Australia with foreign influence. The coverage that we've received in the recent past, we've talked about before, the whole Alan Jones thing, the Scott Morrison backflip. You know, we're in a state now where we can continue to push for this agenda, but we're actually seeing some light at the end of this very long tunnel.
Ike, thank you for your time and the interview. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Same. Thank you very much, Vahe. Thank you for your interest and bringing this very important news to the greater Armenian community of Australia.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.